Welcome to the Robert J. Morgan Podcast, a podcast dedicated to helping you believe and cherish the Bible and to learn and love Christian history and hymnody. I'm producer Joshua Rowe, introducing your host, Robert J. Morgan. Be sure to visit robertjmorgan.com, where you'll find Rob's blog posts, podcast feed, bookstore, free resources, and more. If you've not already, be sure to subscribe to this podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you like what you hear, leave us a 5-star review. Now here's your host, Robert J. Morgan.
Hello, everyone. What songs have served as the soundtrack of your life? Today, I'd like to share mine. This is an episode about the classic hymns that have shaped my experiences in life. I'm committed to seeing that we sing the newer music without losing the legacy of the great songs of the faith that have been passed down through the centuries. As part of this effort, I produced 3 volumes of the stories behind our great Christian hymns. Then Sings My Soul, Then Sings My Soul, Book 2, and Then Sings My Soul, Book 3. Each of these books has the words and music of many of your favorite hymns on the left-hand side of the page, and the story behind the hymn on the right side of the page. These books have sold over 1 million copies, and they are still going strong. Just yesterday, I stopped at a home decor store and was surprised and pleased to see them on one of the shelves there. People don't want to lose the old hymns, so check out Then Sings My Soul wherever books are sold. While I love much of the newer music, I'm distressed at the short lifespan of contemporary Christian songs. We don't sing them long enough to engrave the lyrics onto our long-term memories. That's why we can't afford to lose the great hymns, the ones that we sing over and over again over the course of decades, over the course of a lifetime. At some point in the future, today's worship leaders are going to look back with regret that they presided over the eradication of the great hymns of the faith. Every other generation wrote its own music without obliterating what had come before. On my playlists are many wonderful songs that have been written in recent years, but the worship industry seems to think that these songs are disposable. They say, let's sing them to death and then bury them. Well, I want to keep some of the newer music alive, and I also fervently want to cherish and sing the music of the ages. Looking back over my life, several hymns have truly shaped my soul. I'll start with the 2 hymns I sang over and over in church as a child. We didn't have children's church when I was growing up, and so I sat with my parents in the worship service, and how thankful I am for that. There we had a variety of congregational and choir songs, but the service somehow always opened with either Holy, 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 or Come Thou Almighty King. These songs spoke of the majesty and transcendence of God, and now, 7 decades later, I never tired of hearing or singing them. Do you agree with me that we're in danger of losing the atmosphere of awe, reverence, majesty, and holiness in many of our churches and lives? A couple of years ago, a pastor asked me what 1 or 2 words would truly describe a biblical worship service for his church. He had apparently asked others this question, and I think he had gotten answers like exciting, alive, stimulating, meaningful, authentic, rousing. I don't believe that he heard my answers very often. I'm not sure that he even liked them. He listened to them without comment, but my answers were majestic, reverent, a sense of awe and wonder. The other answers were not wrong. But much of today's worship just simply doesn't do reverent very well. Holy, Holy, Holy Lord God Almighty was written by Reginald Heber, who was an Anglican bishop from England who served in India. He died there, relatively young, on a very hot day after taking a cold plunge. After his death, his widow found the words of Holy, Holy, Holy in his trunk. It was based on his study of the great angelic song in Revelation 4, where the angel said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." My favorite line of this hymn is in verse 3, "Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity." When I enrolled at Columbia International University, the school had a small radio station that came on at 6:15 each morning, and it opened by playing the wonderful hymn, "When Morning Gilds the Skies." For my entire college life, I awoke to this song and its ringing refrain, "May Jesus Christ be praised." Would you believe that I still play some version of this song each morning as I prepare for the day? I love this hymn so much that I asked Jordan Davis to compose a special arrangement of it for the opening and closing of this weekly podcast. The song comes from an old medieval Catholic hymn that had many, many stanzas. We use only a few of them today, but the constant refrain is a joy to sing. Here are a couple of the verses. "When morning gilds the skies, our heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair, may Jesus Christ be praised. Does sadness fill my mind? A solace here I find, may Jesus Christ be praised. Or fades my earthly bliss, my comfort still is this, may Jesus Christ be praised. Be this while life is mine, my canticle divine, may Jesus Christ be praised. Be this the eternal song through all the ages long, may Jesus Christ be praised." When I was a junior in college, I attended graduation. I'll never forget the moment the entire senior class, the class of 1973, which was sitting on the front rows of the chapel, rose, turned, and sang for all of us Fanny Crosby's hymn, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." I was moved to tears by their dedication. Many of them went on to serve a lifetime in ministry or missionary service, and they were sustained, as I have been, by the glorious truth of God's unfailing ability to guide us through life. Fanny Crosby was a blind hymnist who was spry, feisty, and brilliant. Because of her blindness, she had memorized vast portions of Scripture, and her gospel songs flowed from this reserve. Her favorite songs that we sing today include "Blessed Assurance" and "To God Be the Glory, Great Things He Has Done." But my favorite is this hymn of guidance, "All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by Him in faith to dwell, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." When I was enrolled at Wheaton Graduate School, I heard an old mariner's hymn that also focused on the subject of God's guidance, of His leading us through the decisions of life and through the storms of life. I prayed this prayer through graduate school as I pondered my next steps and my growing relationship with this girl in South Carolina named Katrina Polvinen. The words said, "Jesus, Savior, pilot me over life's tempestuous sea. Unknown waves before me roll, hiding rock and dangerous shoal. Chart and compass come from Thee. Jesus, Savior, pilot me." I also use this hymn as a theme for my book, The Mediterranean Sea Rules, about the voyage and shipwreck of St. Paul the Apostle and how God served as his pilot. A couple of years later, and after our marriage, Katrina suspected that she might be pregnant. There were no instant pregnancy tests in those days. We had to go to the doctor's office and leave a sample. A week later, we were told we could return and learn the results. For some reason that I can't recall now, Katrina was not able to make the return trip, and so I drove the hour to the clinic in Johnson City, where I was told that Indeed, we were going to become parents. Driving home to tell Katrina, I was a wreck. My pastoral job only paid $97.50 a week, and it had no health insurance. Neither of us knew anything about being parents, and I was panicky. I turned on the car radio, and at that very moment, the words rang through the vehicle, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you." That old gospel song spoke to me like the whisper of God, turning my worries into worship. The author of God Will Take Care of You was Sevilla Martin, who also wrote the wonderful hymn of encouragement, His Eye Is on the Sparrow, and the rousing gospel song, The Blood Will Never Lose Its Power. The gospel singer and television host Sheila Walsh told me that sometimes when she and Johnny Erickson Tada are on the phone together, maybe one or the other is downcast, that they just stop their conversation and sing together over the phone these lyrics, "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you." It was also during my first pastorate in the Tennessee Hills that I discovered a prayer written by hymnist Francis Ridley Havergal, a British devotional writer and lyricist. After supper, I would often go out for a couple of the hours of the night, visiting families in our rural community or teaching the Bible at a Christian institute about 20 miles away. Those were the days of cassette tapes, and I had one by the singing duet of Robert Hale and Dean Wilder. The songs on that cassette were so powerful, I listened to them over and over again as I drove in the evening and was inwardly edified by them like no other tape or album that I've ever possessed. One of the songs was a new arrangement from Francis Havergal's song, Lord, Speak to Me. This became the central prayer of my entire ministry. To this day, I often sing it in my heart as a prayer, asking God to use me, to use my words, to use my life. I often pray it before I preach. I know of no other song that so expresses the heart of a pastor as this one. The words say, Lord, speak to me that I may speak in living echoes of thy tone. As you have sought, so let me seek your erring children lost and lone. Oh, teach me, Lord, that I may teach the precious truths thou dost impart, and wing my words that they may reach the hidden depths of many a heart. Oh, use me, Lord, use even me, just as thou wilt and when and where, until your blessed face I see, your rest, your joy, your victory share. As far as I can tell, the greatest change in the trajectory of my personality throughout the course of my life has been in the area of happiness and joy. Even recently, during a conversation with Dr. David Jeremiah, we discussed the difference between happiness and joy. Dr. Jeremiah said that after reading Randy Alcorn's book on happiness, he had concluded that there is no biblical distinction in the use of those terms. When the Bible tells us to rejoice, it means for us to be happy. Dr. Jeremiah sent me a copy of Alcorn's book, and I'm continuing to learn the secrets of a joyful and happy personality. For much of my life, I struggled with melancholy and even with depression. My schoolmates called me moody, and my wife Katrina sometimes didn't know what to do with me during periods of discouragement. But I remember finding a prayer that helped me ever so much to turn the corner. It was written by Henry Van Dyke, and it was a song set to Beethoven's Ode to Joy. The first stanza begins with a proclamation. Joyful, joyful, we adore thee, God of glory, Lord of love. Hearts unfold like flowers before thee, opening to the sun above. It's the last part of stanza one that became a prayer of mine. Melt the clouds of sin and sadness. Drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. The second verse uses some of the most picturesque language I've ever seen in a hymn. It says, All thy works with joy surround thee, heaven and earth reflect thy rays, stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise, field and forest, vale and mountain, blooming meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Another great hymn of creation that caught up my imagination is Francis of Assisi's hymn, All Creatures of Our God and King. The words are really an English paraphrase of part of St. Francis's longer poem, Canticle to Brother's Son. I became so intrigued with this hymn and with the life of St. Francis that I took my son-in-law, Joshua Rowe, and we visited Assisi, the home of St. Francis, a little mountainside town in central Italy. The basis of this hymn is Psalm 148, which calls on all of the elements of nature to praise the Lord. The psalmist wrote, "Praise him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you shining stars. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and all cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all nations, let them praise the name of the Lord." In his canticle, Francis wrote, as it was later rendered in this English hymn, "All creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing, Alleluia, Alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam, O praise him, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. Thou rushing wind that art so strong, ye clouds that sail in heaven along, O praise him, Alleluia. Thou rising moon in praise rejoice, ye lights of evening find a voice, O praise him, Alleluia, Alleluia." The song goes on to admonish other elements of creation to praise the Lord. Mother Earth, the flowers and fruits, and all ye men of tender heart, forgiving others, do your part. It's just an exuberant hymn of absolute praise. It's one that we cannot lose. Throughout all of the years that I served as a pastor, I was determined to plan public worship services that combined both the newer music with the older. My single most poignant memory about a new song happened during the Nashville flood of 2010. On the weekend of the flood itself, I decided not to cancel our morning services. I was very loath always to do that because many people were able to make it through the rain. Our first service went reasonably well, but we began getting alarming reports about flooded homes and roads, so we dismissed, and I spent the afternoon alongside other volunteers trying to pack up and evacuate people who lived at the far end of my street alongside the Cumberland River. We got everyone out, but not their belongings. The street where we worked became surrounded by water, and we all had trouble escaping it. Two of our church teenagers were missing for a while, but we later learned to our relief that they had scaled a high bridge and were safe. Over 20 families in our church lost their homes, and our own church basement was flooded, resulting in tens of thousands of dollars of damage. When we gathered the next week, it was with a somber sense of survival. One of the songs that day hit our church like a spiritual revival. People stood and wept and raised their arms as they sang it, and to this day I keep it on my playlist and think of that flood Sunday in 2010 when I hear it. It's a beautiful Hillsong song entitled Still. The words say, "Hide me now under your wings, cover me within your mighty hand. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still and know you are God." I'll have to say those words almost always still bring a watery moment to my eyes. It was one of the most powerful worship experiences that I felt as a pastor. And so the years passed. Katrina battled multiple sclerosis, and during her last year, we were both overwhelmed. It was the great and classic hymns that God often used to uphold us. Katrina had trouble sleeping, and during her last year or two, she was unable to turn herself in the hospital bed that we had set up for her. So we got a smart speaker by her bed, and she would ask it to play hymns. She loved George Beverly Shea, the soloist for the Billy Graham Crusades, whom we both met and had known. Maybe Katrina's favorite hymn at night, the one that I heard most often when I passed the door, was "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." One night in particular, I realized Katrina was getting closer to heaven. I lifted her into bed, tucked her in, helped her get the music going, and I went out on the patio and sat in the moonlight. I was very sad. From far back in my memory, an old song began playing in my mind. It's not one that I'd ever sung, and I don't even know where I heard it. But I looked it up on my phone, and the lyrics stayed at the forefront of my mind every day during Katrina's final moments on earth. I came to love this song, and I later told Babby Mason about it, and we sang it together for a video that I posted on social media. The words say, "I trust in God wherever I may be, upon the land or on the rolling sea. For come what may, from day to day, my Heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, I know He cares for me, on mountain bleak or on the stormy sea. Though billows roll, He keeps my soul. My Heavenly Father watches over me." One other hymn sent unspeakable streams of comfort to Katrina and me during her last month on earth. A year earlier, my friend Johannes Schroeder, who teaches worship leaders in Germany, had asked if he could bring a delegation of musicians to my house to discuss hymnody. They were planning an American tour. As it turned out, their visit came just before the doctor prescribed hospice care for Katrina. We gathered in the living room for a wonderful discussion about the great hymns, and at length, I told them our favorite German hymn is "Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of Creation" by Joachim Neander. Well, at once, this choir began singing it in German, and their voices filled the house like the breath of the psalmists. I still have the video of the men singing while my wife soaked in the song with a sweet smile that lingers in my memory. "Praise to the Lord the Almighty, the King of Creation. O my soul, praise Him, for He is your health and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw near. Join me in glad adoration." It's almost as though the Lord had sent a choir all the way from Germany just to sing that song to Katrina at the end of his life. And, of course, He did. Not long after that, Katrina declined quickly, and just a night or two before her death, as I was lifting her into bed, she started speaking. I listened and heard her say, "My gracious Master and my God, assist me to proclaim, to spread through all the earth abroad the glories of Thy name." That was a stanza from Charles Wesley's great hymn, "Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing." For some reason, the church that I grew up in didn't sing that song, and I first heard it as a teenager attending a Billy Graham crusade, but it had become a favorite of both of ours, and it expressed one of Katrina's last spoken prayers. And then a few weeks later, when I drove into the cemetery of my little hometown of Elizabethton, Tennessee, to join my family and friends at Katrina's graveside service, a strange thing happened. I'm not the smartest guy with tech issues, and I always had trouble syncing my phone playlist to the car radio. It seldom worked for me. But just as I turned off the highway into Happy Valley Cemetery, suddenly the radio began blaring out Wesley's great resurrection song, "Christ the Lord is Risen Today." That was such a great encouragement to me that I want to sing that song not just every Easter, but almost every Sunday. And actually, I get quite perturbed by churches that don't sing it, at least on Easter Sunday. "Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia." These are moments that I'll never forget. These are the hymns that have shaped my life. I could go on and talk about "Great is Thy Faithfulness, just as I am, how firm a foundation He leadeth me, how great Thou art." These great hymns are never far from my mind or my ears or my mouth. Cliff Barrows, the music director for the Billy Graham Crusades, once told me, Robert the Great Hymns of the Faith are continually flooding my mind. I revel in trying to recall their words. It's a devotional exercise. Well, the same is true for me. I've devoted my life to creating worship experiences for Christians that wove together the newer songs with the older classics. I've been known to be assertive on this, and not everybody has appreciated my perspective. But without apology, I say that older people badly need the newer music to keep them fresh, and younger people badly need the older music to keep them grounded. On two occasions, the Bible tells us to use variety in our worship, specifically psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You'll see that in Colossians 3 and Ephesians 5. However you define those terms, it certainly implies a variety of genres and styles for intergenerational worship. When the final edition of the Book of Psalms was compiled, probably by Ezra, he included songs that were 1,000 years old, such as Psalm 90, as well as brand new songs to him, such as Psalm 137. Every generation since has written its own music without losing the classic hymns and anthems from the past. I frequently have grandchildren in my truck traveling with me, and I keep my list of about 450 favorite older and newer hymns playing, and often comment on one of the songs saying something like, "This is a tremendous Wesley hymn. Just listen to the refrain," which then I'll often quote for them. I want to pass this heritage down to them. A worship leader once told me he didn't care whether or not his children ever knew the great hymns such as "Great is Thy Faithfulness," as long, he said, as they listened to contemporary Christian music. Well, I would gently suggest the two options are not mutually exclusive, but one is more enduring than the other. You'll find when you're filled with the Holy Spirit that He generates the music from within yourself. The Bible says, "Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So keep a hymn book nearby and let the great hymns of the church lift your heart to heaven every day. Let them shape your life story. And let's continually tell the Lord in song how great Thou art. And let's pass these hymns down to our children and grandchildren and constantly share them with our fellow believers. So remember to check out my trilogy, Then Sings My Soul, and you might even buy a set for your worship leader or for your pastor, because people seldom turn down the offer of a free book. Thank you for digging into the riches of the hymn book with me. This episode was produced by Joshua Rowe and the marketing company Clearly Media, and sponsored by MP Seminars, which for three decades has trained pastor scholars and students in the use of Logos software. Audio engineering and production is by Jared Brummett. Editorial supervision is by Sherry Anderson. Luke Tyler helps with the website, and the music is by Jordan Davis. Thanks for tuning in, and may God be with you until we meet again.